Nebraska came out swinging on Saturday, racking up 606 total yards and 54 points in a win over Illinois. The offense is humming along as the Huskers near the end of the season. We'll break down this past weekend's game and look at the remaining matchups with our special guest, Brandon Vogel from Hail Varsity. Sean Callahan will also join us to discuss Big Red recruiting. All that and more next on NET's Big Red Wrap-Up. Hi, everybody. I'm Kevin Kugler. Welcome to NET's Big Red Wrap-Up. A very good game to wrap up for the Huskers following a resounding win over the Illinois Fighting Illini. A lot of trends continued, including the trend of Nebraska getting off to a hot start offensively. And like it's happened of late, Nebraska didn't let up offensively and rolled to the win over Illinois. With me tonight, former Huskers Jay Moore and Damon Benning. This offense really humming along right now, Jay. It looks like if you were to gauge where this program is almost 1 year in for Scott Frost, offense well ahead of defense.
Oh, absolutely. And not surprised by that when you have your head coach as the offensive guy in this, and you got, you know, with Walters running, you know, calling the plays as well. You know, it's where they look at this. You look at offense game one in Colorado, whereas now, I mean, everyone is playing so much better. Wide receivers blocking better on the edge. O-line's much improved. And Adrian Martinez is much improved from game one as well. And not surprised they're throwing up 450-plus for the last four or five games.
Yeah, again, you combine that with the prowess of those offensive minds on that staff, and then that's where the bulk of your talent lies as well. The defense still trying to catch up on the talent end with the offense, and I think it was easy for them to get off to a better start. Defense slowly starting to make some strides. It starts with the turnover, or what I like to call takeaways, right? You've got 14 in the last five games. It's no coincidence. They're 3-2. I think they had five in the first five, and they were 0-5. So their ability to take the football away more has really complemented the offense as they try to get their legs underneath them in terms of applying the scheme.
Well, there's lots to get to tonight, and we cannot do it without you. The guys of Phi Kappa Theta are in our house tonight to answer your phone calls while they're with us tonight. They're also enjoying some Valentino's pizza. Manning the call center tonight is our NET Sports. There she is, our NET Sports intern, Hannah. She was derelict in her duties there for a moment. We'll talk with her later on in the show. Feel free to text or email your comments or questions this evening to bigred@netnebraska.org. You can also stop by our social media pages and leave a comment on Facebook or tweet at us throughout the show. Here's tonight's all-new sideline survey. How does Nebraska finish out the 2018 regular season? With a big spoonful of optimism is what you're saying. 74% already saying they beat Iowa and Michigan State. 8% are saying beat Michigan State, lose to Iowa, lose to Michigan State, beat Iowa, or lose to both. Those are your options. Head to our website now and cast your vote. Many of you think it's going to be some winning. Week's top plays from the Illinois game, as voted on by you, start off our show tonight. And this week has top play number three. Going over the middle, Adrian Martinez with J.D. Spielman, a 4th-and-9, 20-yard completion that would set up a touchdown in the third quarter. That's top play number three. Top play number two, about a blocked punt. Markel Dismuke, some special teams play. I haven't had a lot of these on any top plays this year. Those have not been top plays most of the time, but that safety keeps it rolling for Nebraska. And then Divine Ozigbo, top play number one, longest run of his career. Divine Ozigbo is one of the great stories not only for Nebraska this year, but in the Big Ten Conference. The emergence of Divine Ozigbo in this offense. It's been fun to watch. Check back with us on our website. Cast your vote on some big plays from games this season. And look, I don't know that anybody expected Divine Ozigbo to be a breakout running back this season. Now, you played the position, Damon, and you played it with Scott Frost. Is it surprising to you that Divine is the guy that became the bell cow?
Yeah, I think it's surprising to the staff.
Yeah.
I mean, they went out, and I think when Coach Frost and that staff first got here, running back was a position I think that they wanted to address. And so they went out, and they got some fellas, some of their guys. And, you know, lo and behold, when fall camp started, Divine Ozigbo kind of found himself on the bottom looking up and has just found a way to stay the course. He typifies what I think you're after. When you're really culture building and you're planting those seeds, you want a guy like Ozigbo as a senior that has a story to tell, but models the behavior you're after when it wasn't always rainbows and butterflies. He is a heck of a story.
Well, his emergence basically nudged Greg Bell out the door. Once he got the starting job, Greg Bell pulled the ripcord.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, brought it up last week or a couple weeks ago on the show. I said maybe the disappearance of Greg Bell might have been a blessing in disguise for this offense in this backfield with the emergence of Ozigbo. What the funny thing is will Nebraska recruit another player like Ozigbo in this offense going forward? Because you see guys like Maurice Washington, you guys see the speed guys, the slashers. You know, Ozigbo's built like what a Big Ten back in my mind is supposed to be. Solid. He looks faster than he has the last couple of years. But will they, with this kind of success by Ozigbo, will Nebraska look to add more players like Ziggy going forward with his offense?
They got one in the fray already with Mills coming by way of junior college from Georgia Tech. You know, he's a squatty body. He's 5'9". He's 220 pounds. And he's a downhill guy that runs behind his pads. And so they have him in the fray. But it will be curious to watch unfold, though, because, you know, I'm trying to imagine if he's on the recruiting trail and he's got a Mills and he's got a Killens. I mean, nine times out of ten, my conventional wisdom says he probably takes a guy like Killens.
Sure.
But Devine's ability to emerge and be a functional every down back in this offense gives you some more options, at least to think about upstairs.
I'm with you, Jay, on the speed factor. Devine Ozigbo is one of two backs in this conference this year that I think looks markedly faster than in years past. One of them is Devine Ozigbo. The other is Caron Higdon of Michigan. I think he's found an extra gear somewhere. But both of those guys seem to have kind of upped their game a little bit and in when their team needed them to do so.
Yeah, I mean, it's just what we talk about. You want to talk, the buying and the culture thing, but you know what? When things aren't going your way anymore, you know, it's just, you know what? It's okay. I'm gonna work my way through it. I'm gonna grind through it. And sometimes you're gonna come. You know, the cream always rises to the top. In the situation, he did. He grinded through it. Didn't get his opportunities last year with the Riley staff. But now, once the opportunity was presented to him, he capitalized. And that's all the man's done. He's worked his tail off for 4 or 5 years. He's finally capitalized, and you can see the success he's having. And the good thing is, you know, your guys are struggling in that running back room. And as a running back coach, you can say, Coach Helton, be like, remember what Devine was going through 2 years ago? Remember, you can always go back to what he's gone through and how he's capitalized to get guys through similar situations.
Yeah, there's no question. We're prima donnas by nature as running backs. And, you know, we can be high maintenance.
Amen.
There's no question about
Amen.
That.
Amen.
But once we graduate to our professional lives, we become much easier to work with.
Well, I don't know about that.
I mean, sitting next
Statements
to you.
Statements made by Damon Benning do not necessarily reflect those of the rest of the staff or any team management.
It's all relative. Oh, but the point is with Coach Held, remember in fall camp, he's, you know, the question was, hey, you know, who's looking good? Who looks explosive? And he talked about Bell, and he mentioned Devine Ozigbo, and it kind of caught some people off guard. And I remember kind of explaining his style. When Devine runs, he's very direct. He's downhill, and he does most of the dictating. And when you run that way as a runner, you're on defender's toes so quickly, you appear to be moving much faster than you are because you're decisive. And then he's shown another gear. You know, he can go to L1 when it comes time for some home run hitting, and I think that has been a beautiful surprise.
Yeah, the surprise for me, too, is obviously the speed. He's a one-cut guy, but he's made a lot of guys miss in the backfield. You know, the kind of the stutter shake type stuff you see, and that's been a pleasant surprise as well as with the resurgence of the speed by him this year as well.
I want to get into a conversation with you guys about what I think is a larger trend, and it all stems from this offense in my opinion. But you walk around this state and you would never know that Nebraska is 3-7. I mean, it's uncanny to me. You have on one side, you have this record, and on the other side, you have a fan base that is giddy right now with where this program appears to be headed. My question is not, is that something you should have as a fan base? Because obviously it is what it is, but they've won 3 out of 4, the only loss being that loss to Ohio State, and a lot of people think, you know, do a couple of things right and they win that game. But my bigger question is this, is the optimism justified? Is this program going to reward the optimism that a long 20-year suffering fan base has had in investing in this program?
For me, I look at it why I'm so optimistic. You look at what the offense is able to do. You have a true freshman quarterback and what he's able to do. Definitely does not look like a true freshman quarterback. One of the best QBs right now in the Big Ten. How the O-line's gotten better. You just look at offensively how they've gotten better. Now you flip over to the defensive side of it. You hinted at it. The talent's not all on the defensive side of the defensive side of the ball right now. in a couple years, getting Chenander, getting his guys in there, letting him kind of evolve, change some things around to how the Big Ten is, not, you know, the American Athletic Conference that they played in the last couple years. And you can see, you understand that, yes, I know there's defenses of where it needs to be. I know it's going to get better. I truly believe that. But it, just the fact that what this offense is producing with the ability to get the guys in here in his defense, make some small changes here and there. I mean, there's in your mind, you can look at that schedule and say, Nebraska should only have lost about two games this year. You look at the Michigan and Wisconsin game, they should have run the rest of those football games. And that's enough to be optimistic about as well.
Yeah, I think for me, it boils down to three things. Number one, the guy in charge. I said the minute he was hired, he's the type of person that will do whatever it takes Monday through Friday within NCAA rules to put that team in position to win football games on Saturday. He's relentless. He's tireless. He is so competitive. He's going to find a way for this program to flourish, and he's going to bleed that into his players. Number two is I think the fans' expectation levels and what this team has done has matched relatively well at the right time. I don't think the fans predicted you're going to lose, you know, you're going to go 0-5. But I do think they thought it was a process. So you're starting to show progress at the right time. It's different than winning your first five and losing the next five. The timing is right because it matches up with the fan psyche. Because what's the two things that the fan base said when he first got hired? I want it to look like football and I want to see progress. Both those things are occurring, and it happens to be at a clip that's happening in November. Rare around here at this campus.
Well, and that's, I think, one of the big reasons. Yes, the offense is producing giant numbers, and that certainly helps everybody's mood. But the fact that this looks like a better football team now than it did when the season started is the best thing that could have happened to this coaching staff, because you now can go out and sell to people, we're going to make these guys better. We're going to get these guys better from day one to day whatever this is now. This team, there's no question, is a better football team now than it was when the season started.
Oh, without a doubt. You look at how the O-line played early on, and you get the switch from Tanner to Farmer to center. You get a guy like Bo Wilson brought in, and how they have evolved over the year. You look at the wide receivers blocking on the edge, how that's gotten better. The emergence of a Zigba. I think the O-line could be, and I'd get your comment on this, DB, but the O-line might be the most improved group. But I think the guy who made the biggest jump so far this year might be Adrian Martinez as well. And that might be just because of a correlation with the O-line play. But how he's performed, gotten better with the football, yeah, he still makes some fresh mistakes here and there. Some of those throws he's making, man, we haven't seen throws like that here in a long, long time.
Yeah, a long time is right. He's one of the first guys that I can remember that's actually met the hype.
Yeah.
And maybe exceeded it. I if you ask me where I thought he was going to be at this point relative to his expectation levels coming in, he surpassed that. He's so calm, his poise. He sounds just like his coach. And perhaps my favorite quality isn't even one that's physical. It's from one play to the next, his ability to flush and keep playing is something that's uncanny to people his age. There are a lot of adults that can't dwell on what they did a week ago, let alone a play ago. And I think so far he has matured mightily in that aspect.
It's remarkable to watch and know that barring injury, Nebraska's gonna have this guy at the helm for the next 3 years, and now you build around him. And of course you gotta build depth behind him, which they're doing in recruiting. But I will pose this question, since we're on this optimism conversation, looking at next year in the Big Ten, is it too crazy to suggest that this team could be contending for a division title next year?
I don't think so. Offensively not. It's going to be interesting to see the steps they make defensively, the tweaks that come from year one, year two defensively. I know when staffs I've been a part of, and you go from year one, year two, I know we made a drastic change going from year one to year two with Cosgrove. We went from an overfront to an underfront to get better prepared for the Big 12 play. It'll be interesting to see the changes that Chenander's going to make. He knows this conference, top to bottom, is the deepest conference in the nation. And you got to bring it week in and week out. So it'll be interesting to see what his tweak is made. But I think they can definitely compete.
As we look at those standings, Damon, and you see no team with a better record than 6-4 overall. Northwestern has obviously won the division. They're going to the Big Ten championship game. Wisconsin is very excited about the recruiting class that they're bringing in, including a highly touted quarterback that they think might be an answer at the quarterback position in the years to come. But there's some uncertainty right now as far as will Purdue still have the same head coach next year. Iowa's got its own set of issues right now. Illinois, Minnesota. I don't know what's going on there. This is not a division that looks daunting on paper next year.
No, and I'm willing. I think Wisconsin has earned the benefit of the doubt for me.
Agreed.
As this being just a hiccup kind of year. I think that program is firmly established as eventually that road is going to run through Madison. Now, you bring up good points, though, with Iowa City and West Lafayette. The X factor in this deal, though, for me is Northwestern, because they're a team. I think we devalue being opportunistic and taking advantage when if somebody opens a window for you and they allow you to climb through and have some success, that's not their fault. And what Northwestern has been able to do is take advantage of opportunities that have been presented to them to the good. I know they don't have an out-of-conference win. They're going to get beat in Minneapolis this weekend. That's my bold prediction. That won't surprise me one bit. But having said that, you gift them enough, they'll unopen and keep on moving. And I don't begrudge them for that.
Oh, heavens no. They're in the Big Ten championship game. And they got there because they won the games that they needed to win to get there. You can't begrudge them that. Let's look at the highlights from Nebraska's win over Illinois. The Huskers trying to get going again, get a strong finish late in the season and a fast start to this ball game. Adrian Martinez with the 30-yard run. Takes it to the 37-yard line. I mean, he just does things like this all the time on a second and two play there. And then talk about next year. This is certainly a guy Nebraska will miss. Stanley Morgan. He's been a big player on and off the field for this Husker team. Hard to undersell the leadership role that he's played for the Huskers this year. On the other side of the ball, the former Husker, A.J. Bush, is really, really good on the ground against the Huskers. I mean, really good. That play, you saw it all day long. Big game changer here, who got injured a little bit later on. Reggie Corbin is a terrific running back. I don't know if this game changes to the tune of who wins or loses without him, but when he's not in there, that certainly helps. A.J. Bush going right up the middle, 7-7 ball game, capping the 8-play, 76-yard drive. Huskers back to work. There's a guy who's going to have some thing to say in the future at the I-back position, Maurice Washington, 49 yards. Down to the 17-yard line a couple of plays later. Third and two at the Illinois 9. Adrian Martinez, that's a touchdown. 14-7, Huskers with the lead. Still in the first quarter. Everybody thought there'd be some offense in this game. Everybody thought right. A.J. Bush going to the air, a little swing pass to Corbin, and Corbin down the sideline. Shows a little speed, a little elusiveness. Down to the 8-yard line, and then one play later, why wouldn't you go? Look at that hole. My goodness. There's a chance I could have gotten to the 5-yard line on that hole. A.J. Bush gets to the end zone. It's an 8-yard score, and it's 14-14. Lovie Smith was obviously excited. Adrian Martinez, J.D. Spielman. Try to get you an update on him a little bit later on as far as the injury goes down to the midfield for J.D. Spielman. Back to the air, back to Stanley. Back to the end zone.
Beautiful ball. That was back into the breeze, too, there.
Yeah.
That was nice.
And the whole key to that play was he looked off the front side safety with the little crossing route. Just a quick glance was enough to hold him.
Illinois' special teams were bad on Saturday. I mean, you can't sugarcoat it.
It's just kicking game.
Oh, my God.
Nothing special about it.
It was just awful. I mean, here's a fumble. Nebraska gets it back. This was not something that was rare on this day. Huskers, with a field goal from Barrett Pickering, makes it 24-14 after the turnover. Speaking of turnovers, how about a turnover? A.J. Bush, Trey Neal forcing the fumble. JoJo Doman recovers. Divino Zigbo, thanks JoJo. I'm going to go all the way to the end zone, 66 yards, 31-14, Nebraska adding to the lead. But A.J. Bush says, you know what? I never got to play at Memorial Stadium. Practiced here. I want to see what I can do here. Well, what he can do is a lot of this. There's a lane. I'm going to run. I got a block. How about 20 yards down to the Nebraska 44-yard line? A few plays later, first and goal to 2. A.J. Bush in, touchdown, 12-play, 75-yard drive. A lot of it from that man. Remember this? This is not the same highlight. This is a different highlight. This is a fumble. This is a bad play by Illinois in the special teams area again. Recovered inside the 10-yard line. Huskers back up with a penalty. Doesn't matter. Jack Stoll, 12 yards, touchdown.
Really good route concept, too. They let Spielman clear and Stoll get up the seam behind him. That's where they were vulnerable in that defense.
back to the air again. Huskers going to work once more. Rather, the interception.
And they were due for a break there. I mean, you misplayed the RPO. He doesn't hang on to it. In good position to make the pick.
Martinez to Ozigbo there for 19 yards. Martinez on the ground. That's a first down on 4th and 3. Scott Frost was having some good luck with 4th down calls. That's not been a great situation for the Huskers this year. How about another 4th down? That 4th and 3 goes to Stanley Morgan to convert again. 4th down. All right, here's J.D. Spielman. 20 yards down to the 4-yard line. And then Divine Ozigbo takes it the rest of the way. That's 4-yard touchdown. 17-play, 82-yard drive. Who says Scott Frost's offense can't eat clock? That's 8 minutes off the clock.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive, too. It was almost like he understood right real time in the moment what they were capable of doing, and it was a slow bleed.
Block punt there results in the safety, 47-21. Illinois would score on the next possession, makes it 47-28. Huskers say, all right, how about this Divine Ozigbo fella again? Turns on the speed, got a good block downfield. Outruns the defender with the angle, 60 yards, 54-28. Illinois would tack on another touchdown, makes it 54-35. But how about this? Been a hard, hard time for Mick Stoltenberg, but not this day. Although he did end up injured on the interception.
Yeah, one of the worst tackles in college football, the old pull down from behind. This was pretty impressive, though. They like this guy a lot, Mick Stoltenberg.
That does it. Huskers win at 54-35. Final number, 606 yards for the Huskers, 509 for Illinois. 24 points off turnovers, though, the difference for Nebraska. Time to go inside the playbook. Jay Moore is in the huddle.
We all know Nebraska's offense has been running in all cylinders here the last few months. But one area they've been struggling this year is at 4th down. So I wanted to hit, we all saw the 3 plays already with Kevin breaking them down. But let's go over these 3 4th down plays that hit. There were 2 of 11 coming this game. They finish with these 3 4th down conversions. First one I want to highlight here. This play happens right in this area where I got highlighted here with Tanner Farmer and Bo Wilson. You get a QB run game. They use this very, very well today. You get a double here by Farmer and Bo Wilson. Nice. Gets a Farmer's able to get the second level here. Bo Wilson does a great job here in sealing his guy off. You get his guy setting the edge on this side by Farniok. I like Martinez one-on-one with the safety to get a first down here. Next play, 4th and 3. AJ Martinez is locked on right now with Stanley Morgan. I know we can't see him in the picture here. He's locked on. Stanley's now working his tail off up here to win in this press cover situation. But as we've been getting most of the game, great protection up front. You get the guys coming off the edge, but up the guards and centers here work very well, so Adrian can step up in the pocket and have a clean one. Stanley does a great job winning here, gets inside leverage on this one, and great throw here by Adrian to get the second 4th down conversion on this drive. Next, let's head to this one. This might be my favorite throw of all games. This is an absolute dime by Martinez. Spielman, I don't know why you want to leave him uncovered on slot, no reroute whatsoever, but they do it. You get a little false blitz here. You get the linebacker, doesn't get the reroute on him. Again, great protection by center guard here. Another clean pocket by Martinez. He's able to step up and throws an absolute beauty. Look at this here, right over the linebacker, right in between the two safeties here. About a 5-yard window that man's working with. An absolute dime by Martinez for the 3rd 4th down conversion of the game and on this drive to help Nebraska seal it off.
4th downs have not been good to Nebraska most of the year. They were very good for the Huskers on Saturday against Illinois with 3 conversions on 4th down. Jay breaking down all of those 4th down conversions right there, including that 4th and 9. That was a big conversion for the Huskers. Next up on the wrap-up, though, we're going to be joined by Brandon Vogel from Hale Varsity. We'll keep the conversation going with Brandon, but before we go to break, sights from a chilly day in Lincoln, courtesy of Hale Varsity. Stay with us. We're back soon.
We just playing. We having fun out there. We playing together. Everybody got a knack to make a knack for the ball. Everybody want to be that guy to make the play. Everybody want to celebrate. Everybody want to help this team win.
It doesn't really matter who we face. We need to get interceptions. We have to get Coach Frost, Coach Walters, the offense. We have to get them the ball back. The biggest difference the last few weeks is just being us being more ball aware, and it's carried over to games.
kind of talking to some of the other seniors, you know, we're all talking about how it's kind of a bittersweet moment. You know, we get a big opportunity this weekend, yet it's the last time we get to play in the stadium. So just kind of trying to take it through a different perspective, I guess, take a step back and kind of enjoy it.
I said at the beginning of the season we wanted to get better day by day, and I think we've done that. I wish it would have led to better results this year. Just like I wasn't going to measure the success of this season based on win-loss record, I won't measure the end of the season based on the last two. We're going to fight our tails off and try to win them against a couple good teams. But I think everybody in the building, everybody in this program can see where it's going, and that in itself has been a success.
Welcome back to NET's Big Red Wrap-Up. I'm Kevin Kugler here with our NET Sports intern, Hannah. Hello.
Hi.
How's the social media world going?
It's great. People are excited.
Oh, well, I would hope so. Yeah. What are we seeing? Give me some examples here.
Everyone was happy except for maybe with the new throwback uniforms.
Oh, I love the uniforms. Come on, Grace.
I know. They think they kind of look like Jake from State Farm with the khakis, you know.
Or, I mean, come on.
It's all relative, though. Whatever,
it is.
Whatever you're feeling, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, all right.
Our second tweet is from Hannah Houston, who was on The Voice. Super excited about Ozigbo's 3 touchdowns, career high. It's really awesome to see Ozigbo out there.
She was cold, too, apparently.
Yeah, it was really cold.
Yeah. Very cold.
Yeah.
Hashtag.
Our last tweet is from Scott, who saw former Husker player Kenny Bell on the sidelines of the game. Kenny was out around Lincoln in the Lincoln scene and kind of checking it out. Yeah.
Scott Porter, great career in football, Friday Night Lights, too. Yeah. So, I mean, you got everything going for him.
Everything right there on the field.
All right. Hannah, thanks so much. One of the big reasons this Nebraska offense is humming along right now is the play of quarterback Adrian Martinez. We had a chance to sit down with Martinez in this Huskers up-close feature.
It's the dream position. Coach Frost knows exactly what he's doing. I'm thankful to be around these coaches. And I feel like I can be a catalyst for this offense. It was a tough road, not getting to play my senior season with guys I grew up with. But I knew it was for a greater purpose. I knew it was for a moment like that in front of 90,000 people, and I was just so thankful to be there and ready to perform, ready to play again. Why not Nebraska? It's an amazing place. You know, I wanted to get the most out of college football, and I knew coming to a place like Nebraska, I was going to get that. I was going to get the best scenery, the best game day environment, and a great community and place I knew I could grow as a person. Pretty avid movie watcher, big into movies. It's something my dad passed down on to me, so I just watch as many movies as I can, really, and something I truly enjoy. I've seen so many. I really like Interstellar, for whatever reason, really gets to me. And then Remember the Titans is a classic. Obviously, with our record right now, it's not what we would have hoped, but it's been a learning experience and something I can't help but be thankful for regardless. We're definitely going to learn from it and be better because of it. I think it'd be easy to quit, but we haven't. We've just come back harder and harder each week. I think our practices have gotten better. Our intensity has grown, and we've really just learned and grown tighter as a team. So I'm proud of our guys, and you know, I'm looking forward to what we're going to be able to do in these last few games here.
Well, we're pleased to be joined by Brandon Vogel from Hail Varsity, who is with us again. Good to see you, Brandon. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you here. You know, you delve into so many different statistical things as part of your coverage of Nebraska with Hail Varsity. The thing that stands out to me with the success of this team of late has been the success of the offense early. Early offense really has set a tone for Nebraska in this last month, hasn't it?
Yeah, and it's a big thing across college football. The teams that go out and score first, it can seem like such a small thing, but their odds of winning go way up. So for Nebraska to do that, a touchdown, not even just field goal, you know, in 6 straight games, is making a huge difference. And with an offense like this, I think where teams come in aware of what they're capable of doing, their ability to score quickly, you know, there's a psychological edge to it too, where, you know, a defense has to be ready that, okay, things could snowball on us here if we don't stop them.
Getting a lot of questions about this, and it all has to do with the Foster Farms Bowl a few years ago. So Jeff in Omaha and several folks on the Facebook page tweets as well, what is the chance or are the chances of Nebraska going to a bowl if they're 5-7? 0.
Virtually zero, yeah. I mean, there's the provision there that you can do it, but with the way the national picture looks, it's possible to have enough six-win teams to qualify anyway, and even if they don't, there's, you know, 5 and 7 teams potentially who are a little bit ahead of Nebraska in that APR, so it's not looking like
that. Yeah, it's not going to happen.
No.
So save your money for next year when there's a bowl trip to go to, you hope. But this year, there's not going to be a bowl game for Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And you look back on so many close calls this year, too. Northwestern game, the Ohio State game.
Yeah, there's two in particular that I feel comfortable saying they should have won. Everything else is kind of a best-case scenario.
Troy.
I can't even really see
really?
Troy.
Colorado?
Colorado and Northwestern were well within Nebraska's control. Everything else, you'd have to go best-case scenario and kind of go glass half full. But Colorado and Northwestern, for sure, that's Nebraska's doing.
We were talking about this before you joined us, Brandon, but I know you were in studio listening. You look at everything in this Big Ten West. Is it feasible to say Nebraska's a contender or a favorite even in the West next year?
I think so. They got the quarterback right, like right out the gates, you know, and when you look at the long-term build for any program, if you can do that, I think it immediately raises your ceiling. The division's kind of in a little bit of flux right now. I mean, anytime Northwestern wins the West, I think it's fair to say that. Wisconsin will be back. Like, you can't count out Wisconsin, but when you just look at offense and what Nebraska has returning there, like, it's one of the best weapons in the Big Ten, not just the West Division. And I think that'll be enough to put them up there in the preseason rankings.
I'm just curious from everybody's thought. Football has changed, obviously, since you guys were on the field, and it's changed as we've covered it. When you look at defense now, are we as fans going to be able to handle what new defense is in college football? Because new defense is not 7 or 10 points allowed and 225 yards allowed. That's not going to happen anymore in college football, only in the rare instances. Are you going to be all right with that? I mean, I see you kind of going,
I get just as frustrated every week watching this type of defense, or you turn on the Big 12, and that's what you get week in and week out. I look at, you know, every week as a defense, you go into, you kind of have your charts, what your goals, you know, less than 100 yards rushing, less than 250 total yards, less than 10 points. I think you got to add about 100 yards on everything and another 10 points to be successful as a defense. I think it's more like 200 yards rushing, 200 yards passing, 21 points. I mean, it's just because the game's more tailor-made towards the offense now, especially with the where you're allowed to hit and all that stuff. And I understand how that's changed. It's just, you know, they're spreading you out, up-tempo, basketball and grass, one-on-one matchups. It's, you know, tackling one-on-one's hard, and that's what they try to expose. I'm telling you what, it's more about, I think anymore, it's about being a really, really good defense in the red zone. I really do. Teams can move the ball
and
in the 20s.
And getting
there's three stats, and I'll go to the Rain Man, the guru over here. Brandon, there's three things. It's yards per play, points per play, and takeaways. I think if you really want to get up to speed on how to watch and critique defense, those are the three statistical categories you better focus on.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier the 14 takeaways over the last five. That's the most in the country, you know. So over that stretch, I kind of invented a stat over the summer called takeaway opportunities, because turnovers, like fumbles, are a little bit random. Interceptions, too, you know, in terms of – so what you can really control is how often you're putting yourself in position for those. And Nebraska was okay in that over the first five. Last five, again, one of the best in the country. So – those 14 takeaways didn't happen by accident. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Eric Shenander mentioned it today. Ball awareness is a big thing, and that's
multiple people to the ball, where you can get a Gifford to run right alongside and get a strip, or a JoJo Doman to clean up a pile because the back or the receiver is already being secured. When you're not chasing or trailing and you're playing from in front of an offensive player, those are opportunities.
And they drill that week in and week out. And we used to do those drills all the time. I hated them.
They don't seem like much.
No, but it's just like, okay, yeah, one guy wraps them up, you come in strip. But I tell you what, it does pay off.
Watch Trey Nail.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, oh, yeah. He's gotten really good at it. Holding teams to field goals nowadays is a win defense.
Huge. Absolutely.
You've got to understand that. Holding teams to 3 points, that's a win for the defense.
You can't trade field goals for touchdowns in today's college football or in today's NFL. You just cannot do it.
And I think you brought this to my attention a couple years ago on the show about how slot receivers now and passing yards made from hash to hash, right? Not necessarily outside the numbers and going all moss on you. and you can't touch guys. The crossing zone, the hands, the contact. There used to be the no-fly zone, mm-hmm. right? Don't allow guys to cross your face. There's a reason drags and crossing routes and those under routes.
You
and
offensive guys call them rubs.
And those shallow digs work. Like, it is a nightmare to play from the line of scrimmage 10 to 12 yards down the field between the hashes. It's the no-touch zone. It's not the no-fly zone.
It's not an easy thing. Let's talk, though, about a team that's coming in this weekend, Brandon, in Michigan State, because they're kind of the old-school defense. They are the stop the run. We'll give up some passing yards, but we're going to be a really stingy defense. Is that enough for them to win this weekend?
It could be. I mean, it's fascinating when we talk about where defense is probably going. They're very much a throwback to what it was, as you mentioned. The one thing that interests me about Nebraska's ability to run the ball here, and I think that's going to be the key matchup, you go down Michigan State, like 2 yards per play, 3 yards. Like Penn State, 6. What's the difference with Penn State? McSorley. He's right. The only, I think, real dual threat quarterback that they've faced. And I'll be interested to see how Nebraska attacks it, because Michigan State, I was asking a couple players about it today, like what makes them tough. And they say they play really good team defense. So I don't know if you try to go inside, you try to go outside, but I think Adrian Martinez could be a weapon that allows them to have some success.
And this dovetails around a question that Adam had asked on the Facebook page, where he said, since now we have an offense, can we have a black shirt defense that can play lights out and shut down people for once? Mm-hmm. I don't think a shut down defense is going to walk through that door this year, next year, or any time in the near future. And I think that's partly by design.
I think so, too. When you have an offense that's this strong, you're sort of incentivized to maximize their possessions. So the three-minute drives, you don't want to give up touchdowns, of course, don't hurt you as bad, because it gets your offense back on the field. And it's not a traditional style of defense. It's going to be tough for – well, it's tough for me to kind of – you know, accept and comprehend. But I think that is partly by design. Now, you know, the defense as we're seeing it now, they want to be better. Like, mm-hmm. they're about 6 yards per play now. Last year at UCF was about 5.5. First year was under 5. So, I mean, it can be better.
Ryan says, which do you think was more important, Scott Frost coming back to coach Nebraska or Patrick Stewart reprising the role of Jean-Luc Picard? I would probably lean with the Patrick Stewart role in that. That's a pretty big deal for a great amount of people. Scott Frost's impact limited to just the world of college football fans.
Well, if you're an X-Men fan, he's...
Professor X, yeah.
He's huge.
Yeah. Right?
Everything else...
But no, spoiler alert, he's now dead in that world.
Yeah.
See, that went right above my head. I'm not into that Marvel stuff now. That's
this will be all on our podcast. Damon and I talk comics coming up a little bit later on.
Could definitely do that.
Joe says, what happened to Jalen Bradley? Will he factor in next year or in years to come? Any thoughts on that, anybody?
DB.
That's my guy, too. I think it's going to be tough. I mean, he's got to stay the course. You know, we talked on the show this morning about who's going to be the next Divine, a guy that stayed the course, kind of been battle-tested, committed himself to the weight room. You know, there's nothing to say that Jalen Bradley couldn't be that guy. Taking care of your business off the field will be paramount for him. But he's got opportunities if he can see and envision himself having success coming out the other side.
Where's one area, Brandon, in all of the areas that you examine over the course of a year that Nebraska needs to take a step in going into next year?
I'll go with offense, since everything seems so good there. You know, it's a little bit harder to find some of those problem areas. They haven't been very good on third down. And it's been okay because they haven't been in third down very often, which is good. But when you know, this offense specifically, but team as a whole went from it's going to take some time to trendy really, really fast. And I think when we get to the end of the season, you'll see them show up in some of those preseason way too early top 25s. When you think about, okay, how does that offense improve upon that last season? I think that's one of those areas. Because you look at the really good offenses now, like Alabama and Oklahoma, they both avoid third downs, but they're also good at picking them up. And Nebraska's been only okay there.
The schedule certainly is conducive for next year to have a very nice ring to it for Nebraska. You get a lot of the big powers in the West at home. You get some decent flips in the East schedule. It's not a bad schedule for Nebraska to have a quick turn going into 2019.
Yeah, it's really good. You know, Northern Illinois is a good group of five program. I think their record's a little bit better than they actually are right now. Colorado obviously going to be, well, maybe without a coach, but certainly without a quarterback. So that one gets, you know, pretty interesting. It's a good opener. And then if you were to custom build a road schedule in the Big Ten, you'd have a tough time beating what Nebraska actually has.
Yeah, so that's next year. But for this year, you've got two more games left in this season. Special teams has been a continued issue for Nebraska on and off throughout the course of the year, as you see Michigan State and Iowa still to come. Where's one area that they have taken a stride? Have you noticed any improvement in that area statistically from week one to where we are now?
The field position has gotten a little bit better since Isaac Armstrong has taken over at punter. And the kickoff return, or Nebraska's kickoff, Illinois' kickoff return was interesting. You know, last week when they made the change to Pickering, they did a little bit better field position-wise there. Nebraska's still not great in that. They've had a lot of long fields, but they're okay at covering all that ground. But I think there's been a little bit of progress there, but overall, that'll be a big point in the offseason, I think.
All right, let's close on this. Two chances left, two receivers with chances to be 1,000-yard receivers. One, two, or none at the end of the year?
I'll go with one, and I'll go with Stanley. Mm. He's gotten a lot of touches, a lot of targets in the last couple of weeks, and if they get a chance to get him that, I think they'll do it.
You could do yourselves a favor when you see Brandon post a new article to go and read it, because it's usually got some information in it that is worth the read. Great stuff as always. Thanks. Brandon Vogel of Hale Varsity. I know you agree with that, Damon. Yeah, that's not just me.
There's a reason we talk to him every Thursday. He's one of the original smart guys when it comes to applicable stats, not just in a vacuum.
I am also one of the original smart guys, according to Damon. No?
That's true.
Yeah, thank you. Up next, we'll be joined by Sean Callahan to talk recruiting, another original smart guy or something. Before we go to break, another look from Nebraska's win against Illinois, courtesy of Hale Varsity. We're back soon. Be sure to vote on this week's Sideline Survey question. How do you think Nebraska will finish the 2018 regular season? 75% think it'll be a clean sweep for the Huskers to close the year. The rest of you have scattered your votes among the other three choices. Make sure to visit the wrap-up website and cast your vote. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us tonight on Big Red Wrap-Up. I'm Kevin Kugler, joined, as always, by Sean Callahan. The time for kickoff for the final game of the regular season at home probably didn't do Husker recruiting any favors, did it?
Yeah, it's a tough deal for Nebraska because they were hoping for a 2:30, but then when you see the options, there was really only one national 2:30 window, and the other were BTNs, and Michigan State and Nebraska got picked up nationally on Fox. It was a good thing for the exposure, but a bad thing for the recruiting weekend. But Nebraska's going to make the most of it. They still plan to have 9 officials as of today. The junior college guys are done with their seasons, so that's not going to be a problem. 3 or 4 JUCO guys probably will be in. All of the high school guys, though, coming in are going to be involved with high school playoff games. And Nebraska right now has said, okay, we will still bring guys in late, and they may not get to Lincoln until the second quarter or halftime, but we would rather have them here for half of a game than no game.
Sure.
Or, you know, there is the Creighton basketball game, though. That I think that could be a potential big weekend in Lincoln, that December 8th or whatever that weekend is when right. Creighton comes in. So that will be an opportunity in December to give kids a Husker home game atmosphere like crowd, but you can't really substitute a home game, and Nebraska's going to do their best, I think, to make the most of the situation Saturday.
Well, Huskers were hoping that one of the guys who'd be here was Jackson Hanna coming up from Tennessee, but it's a good problem to have for Jackson because his team's still playing and going on to the semifinals in high school football. I know you'd love Jackson to be in Lincoln to see the Huskers play, but it's probably not too bad that you're still playing your high school season, is it?
Yes, sir. Very lucky, dude.
Well, Jackson, we appreciate you taking time for us. Tell us about the season so far. How's it gone? Tell us about the team a little bit.
It's been success on the defensive side and offenses. We've had a lot of banged up guys. The varsity team for about 4 years now, and right, they put me in.
Well, you know what, Jackson, we've got some technical issues with the telephone right now, so we're going to hold that for just a second. Just a little bit of a spotty reception area for Jackson, Sean.
Yeah, we'll get him back on here. He's a unique story, though, when you think about Jackson and his recruitment. wasn't really even considering Nebraska. He said, I'll come in for a somewhat token trip, and was blown away by it. And so Nebraska, I think, surprised a lot of people to get him. Of all the kids they got out of the South and that part of the country, this one surprised a lot of people.
Well, and Sean, you've watched his film. What do you see from Jackson that stands out?
Well, he's a physical inside linebacker, and he's bigger. And I think in this 3-4 defense over time, all of the linebackers need to be 6'3 to 6'5 at all four positions. And right now, Nebraska is still getting there. I mean, the depth, too, has been a problem for Nebraska this year. All three of their starting linebackers, the main three, Gifford, Dedrick Young, and I'm missing another name in there, but they played every snap last week. I mean, they didn't bench it. So they need to get more guys in there for depth. Jackson Hanna, Nick Henrich, it's a very good group to bring in as inside linebackers in this class.
And you guys have him as a four-star linebacker.
Yeah, he's
right?
A top 250 guy. Unfortunately, not an early enrollee. Now, Nick Henrich plans to be an early enrollee. Jackson Hanna will not be here, until his senior year is over with. But I still think he's somebody when you lose a Dedrick Young in the middle, you return Muhammad Berry, obviously, and Will Honus. But you got to think Barrett Rood would like to play more than just two guys the entire game like he's had to do. Muhammad Berry is the name I was missing there. And they had to play those guys 76 snaps on Saturday against Illinois. So I think over time you're going to see opportunities for guys like Jackson Hanna and Nick Henrich to potentially get early playing time in Nebraska.
Well, unfortunately, we couldn't get Jackson's cell phone to get into a better zone. So unfortunately, we'll just have to say thanks to Jackson and wish him good luck this weekend in the state semifinals. Let's move back from the state of Tennessee and go into the state of Nebraska. We do an in-state recruit every week, Sean. Caden Johnson from Bishop Newman up in Wahoo.
Yeah, Caden Johnson, I believe right now, actually is committed to South Dakota State. He's a guy that's been on their radar for a long time, but a high-rev, high-motor kid, has been a part of some good teams. Now, they were beat in the state semifinals. We will not get a chance to see them. They lost to a very good Ord team. But you talk to anyone that watched Bishop Newman this year, he was at a different level for a Class C1 player. I mean, just the intensity he brought to the table probably fits more a 4-3, a guy that can be a defensive end, rush-in type. It's hard to say where his body fits, but I would say an outside guy in a 4-3 defense is kind of where he's being looked at. But everyone loves this, the attitude, the intensity he plays with, as he's just one of those kids that you want to have in your program.
And he is South Dakota State commit, headed to Brookings, South Dakota.
South Dakota State. Now, Nebraska continues. A lot of these kids that are committed to South Dakota State, I've seen a lot of them in on official or unofficial visits to Lincoln this year. So Nebraska and the walk-on program are continuing to recruit guys like this. But as of right now, I believe South Dakota State's where he's going to end up.
All right, Sean, thanks so much. We've got a winner in our game day photo contest this week. Roslyn from Facebook dropped us this photo of a couple of corn cobs and during the cold Saturday game day. Thanks for sharing, Roslyn. Roslyn won the hashtag Big Red Wrap-Up Tea, a coffee tumbler, and a copy of the NET program, Tom Osborne, A Legacy Beyond the Game. Let's talk Nebraska and Michigan State. Getting a lot of questions, Sean, before we go into that game this weekend about the health and status of J.D. Spielman. Of course, Scott Frost doesn't comment on guys unless they're out for the year for the most part. So that's good news. But no update yet on J.D. Spielman as far as health concerns.
No, and it's his foot that he left the game in the third quarter with. But J.D.'s battled a number of behind-the-scenes injuries all year. And he finds himself on that field Saturday. Now, how much he can give them, it's hard to say. How many hits can he take? You know, I think Maurice Washington's been the same way the last few weeks. You can just tell once he took a few shots Saturday, he pulled himself from that game. And I think he's been bothered for the last couple weeks as well.
Well, I was surprised that JD played against Northwestern, so anything's possible.
Well, speaking of injuries, Michigan State has had their fair share of injuries. Their best running back has decided that he couldn't come back, and he's now going to redshirt and try to come back next year. They've got quarterback issues. And when you look at the quarterback situation at Michigan State, do you call it a controversy? I don't know. But look at the numbers in the last three outings for Brian Lewerke. He's the veteran, but he has not been healthy all year long. And you could see it, Damon, when he threw the football. There's not much strength right now in that arm. And he kind of pulled himself out last week and said Rocky Lombardi's got a better shot right now.
Yeah, that's what I was just getting ready to talk about, listening to the media and Lewerke himself. If Rocky Lombardi didn't play, he was that next series, he was getting ready to come out. And I think he gave it, you know, the old college try, for lack of a better term. But whomever takes snaps at quarterback, Nebraska has to limit their ability to get anything easy. no big plays. You have to, a team that's struggling on offense, you can't allow them to have any get-right juice. And you get-right juice when you rip off big plays. So as long as Nebraska can make them work, they'll be okay.
When you look at this Michigan State team, though, Jay, it's the defense that stands out the most.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, number one rushing defense in the nation, top 20 overall defense in the nation. They don't have a lot of dudes. You know, they've had first rounders before. They don't have a ton of NFL talent by any means, but they just play solid across the board. Up front, they play gap sound, good technique. They can get exposed a little bit in the secondary. I know that that pass defense has gotten exposed quite a bit this year. Nebraska may be able to do some damage, but like what Vogue said earlier about getting that QB run game going with Adrian, that could put a little dent in their swag a little bit. But we'll see how it rock and rolls.
When you play the quarters and that man free that they like to play, and they've had to mess with a little bit because they haven't been able to cover some people. They're so good in the run game. A good matchup to watch is Michigan State's secondary fitting in the run game, whether it's the alleys or the corners and run support with Nebraska's wide receivers. That back four is a really big reason why they're so sound in the run game.
Well, one of the things I've learned over the years is I don't care what the situation is, injury-wise, record-wise, or anything else, Mark D'Antonio's on the sideline for Michigan State.
You got a chance.
I'm not counting out that team. Yep. I mean, they went to Penn State a few weeks ago, and nobody gave them a chance. And they went in and beat him. They had a laundry list of injuries. This is one of the best coaches in college football, and I have no doubt he'll have his team ready to play this weekend.
And Rocky Lombardi, if he's the guy, he's a Des Moines kid. Nebraska wrestler. Passed him over for a scholarship. He probably would have looked heavily at going to Nebraska. He was a teammate of John Raritan, came in on some visits. I talked to his dad, Tony, multiple times, and I mean, he's a tough kid. Damon Desmay was a runner-up. 195 wrestler in Iowa in the highest class, four sport athlete. So if he's the guy, he'll have a little bit of juice in Memorial Stadium because he was right down the road in Des Moines, 2.5 hours away, and spent some time up here. And I think it will mean a lot for him to be the quarterback if he's the guy on Saturday.
Andy in Lincoln closes with a question for us that says, do you think Adrian Martinez will go down in history as a better quarterback than Tommy Frazier?
Man. No.
Yeah.
Tommy was 33-3.
Yeah.
Starter. 33-3.
And listen, let me count up his bowl MVP. Yeah. There's more than one.
Has anybody had three consecutive bowl MVPs?
I don't think it happened before or since.
Who took the one away from him?
He was gone.
Was gone. Yeah, he was gone. Yeah, 96. Yeah, it was 96.
They should have given that one to Frost. I shouldn't have had that one either, so I don't know.
It's a he quarterback. He says while he's held it in his car out in the parking lot, carrying it on his lap on the way home.
Yeah, I got to find that thing.
But no, I think is the answer to that question. Let's let Adrian Martinez develop at his own pace and do his own thing before we start putting him up on the pedestal of the greats of all time.
Now, statistically, he might be better.
Statistically,
yeah, there's
maybe.
No, yeah, that's yeah. Fine. He's of those guys coming in, he's probably the best natural prospect at quarterback.
Right.
But you still better go out and rack up a lot of wins and play in a lot of meaningful games.
Correct. Don't forget to head to our website, click on the prediction. Jay, Damon, and I will tell you exactly what to expect on Saturday from the new Tommy Frazier. Nebraska welcomes the Michigan State Spartans to Memorial Stadium for the final home game of 2018. Kickoff, 11 a.m. on Fox. We're back next week at a special time. It's Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central because we got high school football. To break the game down, special guest Parker Gabriel from the Lincoln Journal-Star will be on the show. We're on that special time because, as I mentioned, NET Sports is bringing you complete coverage of the 2018 NSAA Football Championships from Memorial Stadium. Those are just terrific days. See the best high school teams in the state play for the state title Monday and Tuesday of next week. Our thanks to Brandon Vogel, Sean Callahan, Jackson Hannah, and the boys in the Wrap-Up Call Center. For Jay Moore and Damon Benning, I'm Kevin Kugler. See you next week on NET's Big Red Wrap-Up.